The title of our message this morning is An Epiphany Ministry. And the message is based upon these words written by the Apostle Paul to pastors, to Timothy, 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of our religion. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. Brethren, a man's ministry, his program of preaching, pastoral care, teaching, and leading, has a center. It unfolds from a center. The automobile industry builds cars with systems operating from a computer chip. What is the focus? What is the center? Do you have one? What is the microchip for a macro productive pastoral ministry? A pastor's ministry, we submit, is something of an epiphany, an unfolding, a blossoming, a bursting forth. It happens, well, the Episcopal divine, the late Sam Shoemaker, wrote that every man must live for a reason higher than himself. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves, wrote the Apostle Paul, and his words topple any pedestal we may be building for ourselves these years at the seminary. What then? Is the local church the main spring for a man's ministry? It would seem so in some settings. After all, those people pay his salary, and some of them think they own the man. And men in those settings frequently go about making puppet-like moves, pushing the right buttons, ringing the bells, and blowing the whistles because their ministry turns on the expectations, expressed or unexpressed, of the local congregation. Can the local church be the center of a man's ministry? Not if you read closely these words of good counsel from the Apostle Paul. When you read these letters, do you notice how they begin? Three times he says it in three lines of three pastoral letters, a pair addressed to Timothy, another one to Titus. Apostle of Jesus Christ, Paul always begins. This is Paul. This is his ministry, the identity and the authenticity of it all. And he seems to be even testy. So obvious is he about the gospel for which and the Lord Jesus, of whom and for whom he is an apostle. Why, the man has gospel talk in his vocabulary every other sentence. In fact, by the second chapter of the first letter to Timothy, he is predictable to a point that the reader can expect him to interrupt serious exhortations to pastors and to congregations with sudden interjection about Jesus Christ and God our Savior. Instructions about women, bishops, and deacons are interrupted by a reference to that great mystery, the unveiled mystery of God, hidden things now manifest in Christ, the Epiphany God-man. Again, out of the blue, in the midst of supplications, prayers, and intercessions encouraged for kings and leaders in high places, there surfaces suddenly an urgent adoration of the God who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, and that salvation by one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And again, he counsels Timothy to remember his ordination, but not without a quick reference to the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who defeated death and brought life and immortality to light. Reading these pastoral letters, it almost seems that Paul has an obsession, certainly a preoccupation with the very obvious gospel. In the course of normal instructions for pastors and people, the highest Christology and the most profound soteriology crop out of every corner. Why this repeated obsession with the gospel? Why is the apostle so blatantly obvious about it? Perhaps for one thing, it may be because the obvious gospel tends to become quite inobvious, even in churches who boast that they preach the gospel. What with all the upfront devices for church vitality and growth on the market today, the gospel sets getting cold on the back burner. A little more than a vague assumption for ministry, easily and conveniently set aside because we can take that for granted. Jesus saves. What else is new? A man's ministry, brethren, is a business of getting the right things on the front burner. That's what it's about. That center, that priority chip is the thing. Are you searching for it? Are you looking for it? Have you found it? Or is the gospel on the back burner while you are fast treading here at 801 Demun, looking for other secrets of the trade and the fail-safe ways to make it in the pastoral ministry? We best ask ourselves whether these newfangled secrets of the trade are going to make ours an epiphany ministry. Oh, how much greater, exclaims the apostle at the opening of this verse 16 of 1 Timothy 3, how much greater. We confess, we agree, we have consensus about the greatness of that mystery. What was once certainly hidden, now epiphanized, now revealed, clear and obvious like a baby, the Christ child. And then Christ is true man, unmistakably the very God-man. The regrettable hoopla and trappings and the media clout in St. Louis this past week, notwithstanding, Pope John Paul attempted the other evening to press upon the hearts of some 26,000 young people the greatness of Christ. He who should be the inner center of Christian life. Then read on in this text. Christ manifested in the flesh, and quickly dart to the last phrase, taken up in glory. Aren't those two phrases the Alpha and the Omega, literally speaking, rather interesting? They're like brackets that include and enclose the Lord as He is. And the Lord and all He said and all He did and all He continues to do as He rules over heaven and earth for whom? For the church. And that includes your ministry. Have some confidence about that. He rules all things for the church, Ephesians 1, 22 to 23. And then the apostle adds about Him, justified or authenticated by the Spirit of holiness, according to whom our Lord Jesus was designated the Son of God with power by His rising from the dead, Romans 1, verse 4. And if the eyes of men are blind to Him, the angels, says Paul, certainly saw the Lord, saw Him as He is, and they gave testimony to Him. They got Him right, they certainly did. The incarnation they proclaimed that Christmas Eve as good news of Christ the Savior, they got it right. Our Lord's victory over the tempter in the wilderness, they saw, and they came to His side to strengthen His exhausted human body following that conflict with Satan. They got Him right. His shedding of both sweat and blood in suffering and death at Gethsemane and Golgotha for us on the cross never got by the angels. They didn't miss that event, and nor could they contain themselves early Easter morning. So eager were they to tell, He is risen. Obvious? Indeed. The gospel of Jesus Christ, but also so great and powerful, as it is clear and plain, so that it is preached to the Gentiles and believed on in the world. Preached and believed. Christ preached and believed. The very sum and substance of our Christian ministry. The faces of the young men and the young women who are their partners here this morning are soon to be dispersed to the four corners of the world for the preaching of the gospel and the hearing of the gospel wherever you go. By the Spirit's power will lead to repentance and faith, preaching and believing. That is Epiphany. Yes, an Epiphany ministry. And it all begins from a center. A center chip, if you will. None other than Jesus Christ. In His name, Amen.